VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Crosstalk here on VCY America. Well, many have described last night's State of the Union speech as one of the most angry partisan speeches ever delivered for a State of the Union speech. I wonder what your thoughts are on that. We'll be hearing from you later on the broadcast. It's our Friday News Roundup, and we're so grateful for our team here. Sandy putting together so many stories for us. Molly at the phones today. Thankful for Dennis in the control room and our team here working behind the scenes, serving through VCY America. We appreciate each and every one that not only makes this program, but this ministry possible as well. Friends, we could spend two programs just talking about last night's address. We're going to cover it in brief detail here over the next several minutes. We've got a number of other stories as well of what's been taking place, so let's get right into it. From townhall.com, dozens of pro-Palestinian protesters blocked the president's motorcade as he arrived at the Capitol ahead of last night's speech. Massive groups of pro-Palestinian activists sat in the streets between the White House and the Capitol, waving flags that read ceasefire. Others held a sign with a message, Biden's legacy is genocide. Many viewed it as a sign of disrespect for the nation to come 20 minutes late to the State of the Union address last evening. From Town Hall as well, President Joe Biden kicked off the State of the Union by praising Ukraine almost immediately, not the United States border, not the economy, but a foreign country. Some even gave their opinion afterwards. Was this the state of our union or some other union? On Thursday night, Biden did ramp up his calls for the United States to confront funding for Ukraine and its war in Russia, with Russia, I should say. As he continued to urge Congress to send more money to a foreign country, Biden said that freedom and democracy are under attack, both at home and overseas. Well, with the State of the Union speech, some wondered, was this the Democratic National Convention speech? His speech was marinated in, according to Matt Vespa of townhall.com, he said it was marinated in division, rancor, and guff. And the issue of January 6th was raised very early in the speech and was raised last night. If you missed it, here's what was said.
History is watching, just like history watched 3 years ago on January 6th. When insurrectionists stormed this very Capitol and placed a dagger to the throat of American democracy. Many of you are here on that darkest of days. We all saw with our own eyes the insurrectionists were not patriots. They'd come to stop the peaceful transfer of power, to overturn the will of the people. January 6th lies about the 2020 election and the plots to steal the election posed a great, gravest threat to U.S. democracy since the Civil War. But they failed. America stood.
Well, friends, you and I know this was not an insurrection, and he went on to certainly compare it to the greatest insurrection since the time of the Civil War. Not an insurrection. Where were the guns, folks, on January 6th? Where were they? Rather than to have security personnel, police officers opening doors, escorting individuals around the Capitol, well, some have said, yeah, there were riot things that were happening outside in certain places, but not all, not a insurrection. Well, in the aftermath of the Dobbs ruling, leftist agitators launched intimidation protests at the homes of conservative Supreme Court justices. Remember that? Matter of fact, he openly attacked, Joe Biden openly attacked the U.S. Supreme Court over the Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization, a decision decided to return the issue of abortion back to the states. Let's just listen into what he had to say on the Supreme Court.
Due respect, justices, women are not without electoral power. Electoral or political power. You're about to realize just how much you variety of that.
A warning to the justice, you're about ready to realize, you know, how much power women have. I mean, folks, it's just astounding. The efforts that we want to go through from the highest office in our nation to kill unborn babies in the womb. Think about that, folks. We talk about, you know, barbarism from society's past. And we are doing that right here in the United States of America. The president last night as well called on the power of women to help restore Roe v. Wade and abortion on demand during the State of the Union speech. In his decision to overturn Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court majority wrote, "Women are not without electoral political power." No kidding, Biden said. "If Americans send me a Congress that supports the right to choose, I promise you I will restore Roe v. Wade as the law of the land again," he declared. He repeatedly called for codifying abortion on demand in federal law since the Supreme Court overturned Roe. Really? Attacking the most vulnerable amongst us? Is that what we want to be known? Whatever happened to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Well, a Gold Star dad, Steve Nicori, was arrested, charged with a misdemeanor Thursday night for heckling Joe Biden during the speech, reports AmericanGreatness.com. He is the father of Marine Lance Corporal Kareem Nicori, one of 13 service members who was killed outside the Kabul International Airport during the botched withdrawal from Afghanistan August 26, 2021. When Biden declared all Americans deserve to be safe, it was apparently too much for this still grieving dad. "Abbey Gate, Abbey Gate," he yelled in reference to the location of the bomb blast at the airport. And after Biden said it's safer now than when I took office, the enraged dad hollered, "United States Marines." Well, friends, there is great debate as to what's happening at the borders as well. We know how the borders were secured under the previous administration, under the Donald Trump administration. Earlier this week, though, Pete Buttigieg was on CNBC and was challenged in regard to immigration. Listen in.
"The whole move to try to come up with something by the administration and obviously bipartisan, that didn't come until it became clear it was going to be a major campaign issue. And only then did the Biden administration get interested in it. And every time I hear every time we hear those talking points that suddenly it was Republicans who ruined the border, that's why people get so frustrated. We know what President Biden said about inviting people in. We know that he got rid of all the things that were keeping the border closed that President Trump had put in. We know that he got rid of all those. So when you say it's not his fault,
Did you see 7.2 million people come in during
the Trump administration? It was a trickle.
He got rid of the policy to tear children out of the arms of their parents. That's true. But it is not true. Some of the other things that have been suggested. Let's
this
be clear.
Is,
bipartisan
this is part
efforts
of the problem with why there's a disconnect.
Taken place in 2015,
yeah, and as the CNBC host said, that's why this is part of the problem of the disconnect that's taken place. Just not a knowledge or understanding as to how secure the borders were, the progress that was being made, the building of the walls taking place. And friends, it's totally amazing to see how Congress now is saying, "Well, Pat, give me the power, give me the authority." Folks, the authority is there. The power is there. Executive orders were in place that President Biden revoked on his first day in office and then enacted his own executive orders in this regard. Can we go back to 1995, the 1995 State of the Union address? Then it was President Bill Clinton. Listen to what he had to say about illegal immigration at his State of the Union address.
"All Americans, not only in the states most heavily affected, but in every place in this country, are rightly disturbed by the large numbers of illegal aliens entering our country. The jobs they hold might otherwise be held by citizens or legal immigrants. The public service they use impose burdens on our taxpayers. That's why our administration has moved aggressively to secure our borders more by hiring a record number of new border guards, by deporting twice as many criminal aliens as ever before, by cracking down on illegal hiring, by barring welfare benefits to illegal aliens. In the budget I will present to you, we will try to do more to speed the deportation of illegal aliens who are arrested for crimes, to better identify illegal aliens in the workplace, as recommended by the commission headed by former Congresswoman Barbara Jordan. We are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws. It is wrong and ultimately self-defeating for a nation of immigrants to permit the kind of abuse of our immigration laws we have seen in recent years, and we must do more to stop it."
Now, friends, when you scan the Capitol and when he was giving the speech, you've got both parties standing up in applause, and rightly so. That was 1995. Look how far we have drifted off course. Yes, we are a nation of laws, and the laws are being violated. The laws are being broken. Matter, the Daily Signal tells us that in the official Republican response to the State of the Union address, Senator Katie Britt highlighted several of the Biden administration failings, most notably its handling of the southern border, which she called a disgrace. The Alabama senator declared Biden didn't just create the border crisis. He invited it with 94 executive actions in the first 100 days. Britt further criticized Biden's border policies by referencing an increase of deadly fentanyl poisonings in the United States. She also mentioned Laken Riley, a 22-year-old woman who was recently murdered by an illegal immigrant. By the way, as Marjorie Taylor Greene caused President Biden to call out the name, but he mispronounced it, calling her Lincoln Riley instead of Laken Riley. The president did mention her during the address because there was a pin that he held up, say her name. However, he mispronounced the name. Brett was also talked about the high cost of living that she was going through the roof. And she disparaged the economic strategy, saying we have the worst inflation in 40 years and the highest credit card debit in our nation's history. Well, that is some of the State of the Union address. By the way, there was former President Trump was real-time fact-checking President Biden in the State of the Union address. He called his rival so angry and crazy. He said this may be the angriest, least compassionate, and worst State of the Union speech ever made. He said it was an embarrassment to the country. Whether the fake news media likes admitting it or not, there will be tremendous misrepresentation and lies in that speech, but the people of our country get it, and they know that November 5th will be the most important day in our nation's history. Former President Trump wrote just after the speech was finished. Well, friends, we've got so much other news. Like I say, we could spend two full crosstalks just dissecting the speech and having you comment on it, but we're going to move on to other issues as well. This from the Daily Caller. Members of the Republican National Committee elected a replacement for former Chairwoman Ronna McDaniel after she stepped down. That would be, today? The members voted to replace McDaniel with North Carolina Party Chairman Michael Whately. The party also elected Laura Trump, the former president's daughter-in-law, and senior Trump advisor Chris LaCivita, who will run the committee's operations, according to The Washington Post. And former President Barack Obama has said he's all in for President Joe Biden's reelection. But there's been this question, NBC News reports, this is from NBCNews.com, a question nagging at many Democrats is what role his popular spouse might play. Well, in a statement to NBC News, the former First Lady's office tried to rein in imaginations on the right and the left, making it clear that her 2024 plans don't include running for that office. I guess time will tell. And former President Trump all but locked up the Republican nomination this week after the Super Tuesday and winning 14 out of the 15 states up for grabs. In fact, the Republican primaries and caucuses, Trump has garnered some 8.2 million votes. That's about 74% to Haley's 25%. Now it appears that he will just win by default with the all the other opposing candidates dropping out of the race. We'll be back in just 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and author with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, before the fall of man, did animals suffer?
Chris, the Bible says at the end of creation week, things were very good. Things would live forever, with no pain or death. With Adam's sin came the wages of sin. But evolutionists believe that animals lived and died long ago. In fact, the dinosaurs went extinct before man even got here. And yet some of them lived with great pain. A recent discovery of a T-Rex fossil shows this. This dinosaur was quite old when it died. Earlier, it had suffered a broken leg and broken ribs, which had healed. It lived in terrible pain. Now, I don't think that this pain is the result of creation. It's the result of sin. It's certainly not very good, as God pronounced his completed creation back in Genesis.
Thanks, Dr. Morris. For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
It's a news roundup day on Crosstalk, coming your way from VCY America. And from Newsmax.com, President Biden did appeal to voters of Nikki Haley to back him in the November election. And that will remain to be seen if he is wooing in the Haley voters. Let's see, Newsmax.com, Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell has endorsed Donald Trump for president, making him the last top GOP leader in Congress to back the former president. From the New Republic, the Representative Jamie Raskin has a message for the Supreme Court. Challenge accepted. The Supreme Court unanimously ruled Monday that Colorado cannot kick Donald Trump off the 2024 state primary ballot, and by extension, neither can any state. Five of the six justices determined that the 14th Amendment can only be enforced through a law passed by Congress, which the three liberal justices strongly opposed. And Raskin said, I disagree with the interpretation. I'm working with a number of my colleagues. So, friends, the story's not going to end there. He said, I'm working with a number of my colleagues, including Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Eric Swalwell, that is, to revive legislation that we had to set up a process by which we could determine that someone who committed insurrection is disqualified by Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Again, friends, there was no insurrection on January 6th. No matter how many times you hear liberal politicians spouting that, no matter how many times you hear the legacy media spouting it, there was no insurrection on January the 6th. FoxNews.com, the Supreme Court will hear arguments on whether former President Trump is immune from prosecution in special counsel Jack Smith's election interference case. That coming up on April 25th. Last week, the ruling from the High Court expected then for late June. Let's see. We also have the changeover in the leadership of the Senate. Mitch McConnell, of course, is not going to be continuing on as majority leader. So Republicans are coming up against one another here and making their announcements. The number two Republican in the Senate, Minority Whip John Thune of South Dakota, revealed on Monday that he is interested in replacing Mitch McConnell. Thune follows John Cornyn of Texas, stating that he intends to compete for the position that McConnell has held for the last 16 years. Another interesting race out of California, and that this from the NBC station of Los Angeles, Adam Schiff and Steve Garvey will face off in November in the race to fill California's Senate seat. This was a seat to replace Dianne Feinstein, who was the longest serving woman in the Senate when she passed away last year. And we also find an interesting story on the Christian Post. An atheist group is calling on the IRS to remove the tax-exempt status of a prominent megachurch after video footage surfaced of its pastor endorsing a Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate from the pulpit. Well, Freedom From Religion Foundation is going after the Calvary Chapel Chino Hills pastor Jack Hibbs as justification for their demand. So we'll see what happens certainly with that. From justthenews.com, a bill that would eliminate ballot drop boxes and ban ranked choice voting passed the Iowa House of Representatives Tuesday. It was House File 2610 that shortens the time that absentee ballots can be received in county election offices from when polls close on the election day to 5 p.m. on the day before election. From justthenews.com, numerous election issues occurred in multiple counties throughout the U.S. on Super Tuesday. Go figure that one, folks. Malfunctioning ballot scanners, voters having problems checking in at polling stations, being directed to the wrong station. Counties in Alabama, California, Texas, Utah all experienced problems, resulting in some voters leaving polling sites without casting a ballot. Friends, when can we get this right? Unbelievable. These problems, so-called problems that continue to surface up election after election after election. In some places, they gave ballots to voters for the wrong precinct. Another place, malfunctioning ballot scanners for much of the day. Another place, they had to have people cast provisional ballots. We also found the Democratic County District Attorney in Texas was told she already had voted when she went to cast her vote. This was Kim Ogg, was prevented from voting Tuesday morning because of a ballot had already been cast in her name. She's also a candidate on the primary, but lost the election. The county released a statement Tuesday morning explaining that her life partner appeared to have mistakenly voted early last week under her name. The problems just go on and on and on. And folks, I would think with all our ingenuity in this country that we'd be able to figure out how to run an election. That's why so many have called for paper ballots and for machines to take those ballots. And time after time, we are just messing up the system, county after county, in numerous locations across these United States. From JustTheNews.com, the GOP House of Representatives Wednesday passed a 1,050-page spending package that includes $13 billion of earmarks, commonly referred to as pork barrel spending. It passed 339-85 with more Democrats voting in favor of it than Republicans. In total, 207 Democrats, 132 Republicans voting yes. Six appropriation bills total some $460 billion. Senator Rick Scott of Florida wrote on his X account that the spending package is packed with over 6,600 earmarks totaling $12.7 billion. Mike Lee of Utah said there was no way any mortal could actually vet all of the earmarks in the 48-hour period that they've given us so far. John Thune has reportedly sponsored many earmarks in the spending package. They called to get a comment from him, but was not available by the time that story was written. But the Epoch Times tells us that hidden in this week's omnibus, lobbyists got $15 million to implement electronic tracking of all cattle in the United States. No law authorizes this, said Representative Thomas Massey. He wrote in a March 6 post, it will be used by the green agenda to limit beef production and by the corporate meat oligarchy to dominate small ranchers. Wow. Amazing. Let's also go on to the Epoch Times. We did this 3-day series, this roundtable that Ron Johnson had earlier this week. Here is just a few stories pertaining to the COVID shot. This story from Epic Health, here we have, it goes again, the CDC is recommending that older people get the COVID-19 booster. People 65 and older should get another dose of the latest round of COVID-19 vaccines, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control. The recommendation allows older adults to receive an additional dose of the season's COVID-19 vaccine to provide added protection, said Dr. Mandy Cohen, head of the CDC, she said in a recent statement. Also, friends, a COVID-19 shot activist, a journalist, this is a story in WND.com, a journalist who insisted on concentration camps for those who would not take the experimental injections. Well, that journalist has died suddenly at the age of 33, according to Slay News. The Epoch Times tells us that people who test positive for COVID-19 don't need to isolate for 5 days anymore. Well, it used to be 10 days, if you remember that, and then it went to 5 days. But now they're just saying that this is, no different really than the flu, and that people should just stay at home from others and keep from others at least 24 hours until after their fever has been resolved. And let's see, we're also going to look at a story here from the Epic Times, and Epic Health tells us it may take more than 10 years for someone injured by a COVID-19 vaccine to receive a decision on whether their claim is eligible for compensation by the government's vaccine compensation program, if they receive a response at all. U.S. health officials responded to questions on America's failing vaccine injury compensation program system in a hearing that left the vaccine injured feeling like addressing the system's shortcomings is not a priority in Capitol Hill. As of January 1st, there were 12,854 claims filed for injuries caused by COVID-19 countermeasures with the government's Countermeasures Injury Compensation Program, including 9,600 related to injuries caused by the COVID-19 shots. Of the 12,854 claims, just over 2,200 have been processed, but only 40 claims have been found eligible for compensation. The Epoch Times also reporting proposed legislation introduced on March 5th would strip COVID-19 vaccine manufacturers of liability protections, enabling U.S. residents injured by the shots to sue the companies. It's a bill that's proposed by Chip Roy of Texas. It would retroactively remove protections from the Public Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act, the PREP Act, for COVID-19 vaccine manufacturers. NBC News, we'll see if that legislation gets the light of day. Even if it would pass the House, it really has a, in my opinion, likely failed destiny in the Senate. From NBC News, a series of recent high-profile crimes in New York City subway system prompted the Governor Kathy Hochul on Wednesday to send National Guard members into the sprawling underground network. She is ordering a force of nearly 1,000 people comprising 750 National Guard members, state police, and transit officers to conduct bag checks at some of the busiest stations. The effort, she said, is intended to rid our subways of people who commit crimes and to protect all New Yorkers, whether you're a commuter or a transit worker. Maybe we could stop first by detaining those who are illegally here in our country and committing crimes rather than releasing them. And the no bail, the no bond matters that are taking place in numerous locations. National Review tells us San Francisco voters, they have grown tired of the crime, homelessness, and drug use plaguing their left-wing city, and overwhelmingly approved a pair of ballot measures on Tuesday that will expand police powers and require welfare recipients to be screened for drugs. The San Francisco Chronicle's website read in bold letters, "Progressivism is out." Voters made it clear San Francisco can no longer be called a progressive city. We'll see how far that goes. Not the Bee tells us California has taken the next step of social control by turning the citizens against each other in fear of state reprisal. The California legislature passed legislation creating the new No Hate Hotline. And Newsom signed it into law to the tune of $110 million. Saying here in California, we're sending an unequivocal message that hate will not be tolerated. So a new hate hotline so informants can report their neighbors to the state. No big government here, is there? From justthenews.com. No. This is not communist China. This is United States of America. JustTheNews.com telling us a bipartisan bill that will regulate TikTok was unanimously passed on Thursday by the U.S. House Energy and Commerce Committee. The bill gives TikTok's China-based parent company, ByteDance, 165 days to sell the social media platform. Lawmakers said the bill would be taken up by the House in the coming weeks. Congress members had a closed-door meeting on national security concerns regarding the Chinese ownership of TikTok prior to the vote. And friends, it's amazing. The big public relations campaign that is on television right now on legacy media promoting TikTok. And didn't we ban this? Didn't the president ban this for federal employees? And it seems to me that his campaign launched a TikTok site. Must not have happened. OK, let's go on to USA Today. U.S. health officials have urged insurance companies to take immediate steps to ease a digital logjam after a massive data hack that snarled administrative functions for hospitals, doctors, pharmacies, and millions of patients. U.S. Department of Health and Human Services asked insurers Tuesday to waive prior authorizations and Medicare contractors to accept paper bills from doctors and hospitals. Temporary measures aim to address administrative problems that have emerged from the data hack of an influential company owned by United Health Group. I understand that there's been difficulty of submitting Medicare payments and reimbursements from the system back to individual providers. Friends, we've got more information coming up here on Crosstalk, including China just might be spying on our ports within the United States. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Year after year, generation after generation, we as Americans enjoy the right and opportunity to let our voices be heard through the election of our governing officials. With over 200 years of peaceful transition from one elected body to another, the stability of America's republic stands alone among nations. Our founders pledged their life, their fortune, and their sacred honor in the establishment of this nation. Our country's founding documents have guided this nation and are the substance by which today's laws are judged. Do you own a copy of the Constitution? Documents of Freedom is a pocket-sized booklet containing the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and all other amendments passed. The booklet also features the Declaration of Independence and Washington's Farewell. Documents of Freedom is available for a donation of $5 or more to VCY America and can be made by calling 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Friends, thank you for tuning in and listening and sharing links with this program, to others. Many have been doing so with the three-day series we had earlier this week with the roundtable discussion on COVID that was led by U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. Lots of information that the only way this will get out across the country is if you distribute it through links here at Crosstalk. You can do that no cost. I mean, just do it. Crosstalkamerica.com, and you'll find that there. Or if you have the VCY app, yeah, just click on the on-demand section, and you can go back and listen to those programs as well. Yes, China could be spying on U.S. ports using secret tech built into cranes. Here is a story that's coming to us from the businessinsider.com. Chinese cranes used at U.S. ports were installed with communication equipment that could be used for espionage, according to a congressional investigation reported by the Wall Street Journal. More than 12 cellular modems that could be used remotely were found in Chinese-made cranes. Unnamed aides told the Journal some of the cranes were built by the Shanghai Zhuhua Heavy Industries, that's ZPMC, a state-owned Chinese manufacturer that's been widely viewed in the U.S. as posing a security risk. When are we going to learn, friends? When are we going to learn? We also have here from New York a story that five months after President Joe Biden announced he was nominating Julie Hsu for Labor Secretary, congressional Republicans are ratcheting up their efforts to end her bid. Her nomination cleared the department, Democratic-led Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee in late April, but has yet to come for a confirmation vote before the full Senate. Republicans opposing the nomination argue, among other grievances, that when she was California's labor secretary, fraudsters bilked the state out of $32 billion in unemployment claims, and that as U.S. Deputy Labor Secretary, she helped impose vaccine mandates on businesses. Can weigh in with your U.S. senators regarding the nomination, your viewpoint on the nomination here of Julie Hsu, that's S-U, for Labor Secretary. From FoxNews.com, Attorney General Merrick Garland appeared alongside Vice President Kamala Harris in Selma, Alabama, Sunday, where he pledged to fight against the voter ID laws and other election integrity measures that he deemed discriminatory, burdensome, and unnecessary. Friends, from CNBC.com, the debt load of the U.S. is growing at a quicker clip in recent months, increasing about $1 trillion nearly every 100 days. I can't even fathom numbers like that. The nation's debt permanently crossed over to $34 trillion on January 4th. It reached $33 trillion the September before that, $32 trillion the June before that. 3 months. It is about 100 days. It's climbing by $1 trillion. Let's see, this coming from DailyWire.com, Vice President Kamala Harris criticized Israel's harshly during a speech over last weekend before she demanded that there be an immediate ceasefire inside Gaza as the Israel Defense Forces prepare to eliminate Hamas terrorists from their last stronghold inside the territory. Fox News reports Hezbollah militants and Israeli Defense Forces exchanged rockets Tuesday after a White House senior advisor visited Beirut in a diplomatic effort to quell ongoing clashes. IDF said rockets were fired from Lebanon toward Israel and the areas certainly have been impacted. This is Manara and others. In retaliation, IDF fighter jets struck a town in southern Lebanon. And the continued fighting against Israel, the continued rocket launches are being launched against her. Does not Israel have a right to defend herself? And also, here is from the Times of Israel, a Hamas delegation left Cairo Thursday, but it's going to continue with Gaza truce talks until an agreement is reached with Israel, the terror group said in a statement, with Hamas official blaming Israel for the lack of progress. Well, friends, there are two sides to this coin here. Lord willing, next Wednesday we'll be joined by Dr. Richard Schmidt, and we'll delve further into the matters pertaining to Israel. From OANN.com, San Diego police reported last Friday that a shooting incident at a dentist office resulted in one death and two injuries. The now-deceased man was an Orthodox Jewish dentist identified as the victim by the Jewish News Syndicate. The gunman, who was formerly the dentist patient, now being detained by police, has been identified as Mohammed Abdul Karim of El Cajon. Jewish dentist, the headline says, Jewish dentist fatally shot by Muslim former patient. Two others were injured. And they say, as of this writing, that the motivations are unknown. From the freebeacon.com, as President Joe Biden pushes to empower the Palestinian Authority in the name of the Middle East peace, the PA has committed tens of millions of dollars for terrorists who were killed or captured while carrying out the Hamas October 7th terror attack on Israel and the resulting war. Now, friends, you keep hearing about we need to have more and more money going to the PA, to the Palestinian Authority, and we need to have relief. Friends, they have a policy there called pay for slay. Pay for slay, where they are paying the families of those Palestinians who've been martyred, the Palestinian Authority who've been martyred and fighting and killing Israelis. And yet we're going to be putting a port in to Gaza soon, according to the State of the Union address last night. Interesting from Newsmax.com, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky would lose an election as commander-in-chief, according to a poll. A survey by the Kiev-based firm Sosis, conducted February 22nd through March 1st, asked 3,000 Ukrainians how they would vote in a hypothetical ballot, Newsweek reported. If an election were held, 41% of the respondents would have backed his opponent in the first round, compared with 23% for Zelensky, margin of error 2.1 percentage points. Okay, let's look here. Canada, Jihad Watch, despite the revelation that UNRWA staff participated in October 7th and even called captive women as the term used for sex slaves, the Canadian government will resume funding UNRWA. Canada is experiencing out-of-hand pro-Hamas protest. One recently blocked Trudeau's entrance to an event with the Italian prime minister. And also an interesting story from Slay News. Canada is moving to criminalize Christianity as a far-left Canadian government seeks to expand its so-called hate speech laws to include key elements of the Christian faith. The legislation bill, C-367, would make it illegal to reiterate certain parts of the Bible. By stripping away the good faith defense, the government will be able to prosecute Christians for what is deemed by the state as, quote, hate speech. Traditional Christian practices, such as celebrating Christmas or attending church service, will be considered crimes that carry severe penalties, they write in their article. Truly troubling. And by the way, they're putting this new carbon tax in Canada, increasing it. According to LifeScienceNews.com, a new poll has found that most Canadians oppose the upcoming carbon tax hike of 23% on April 1. Can you imagine a 23% hike in this tax, the carbon tax? According to a February 27th Ledger poll commissioned by the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, 69% of Canadians oppose Trudeau's April 1st tax hike, which will increase the federal carbon tax to 17 cents per liter of gasoline, 21 cents per liter of diesel, 15 cents per cubic meter of natural gas. The poll proves the vast majority of Canadians don't support and cannot afford another carbon tax hike. AP News telling us that, sadly, the wildfires that have been going through Texas, well, it appears that Xcel Energy, that's their headline from AP News, Xcel Energy says it appeared to have a role in igniting the Texas wildfire. Texas A&M Forest Service said the investigators concluded that the power lines ignited both the historic Smokehouse Creek Fire, which has burned nearly 1,700 square miles and spilled into neighboring Oklahoma, and the nearby Windy Deuce Fire, which has burned some 225 square miles. The statement did not elaborate on what led to the power lines igniting the blazes. Troubling news here as well. Newsmax.com, the Biden administration has used secretive flights to transport migrants into the United States, according to the massive influx at the southern border, a Center for Immigration Studies Freedom of Information Act lawsuit discovered. The center's Todd Benzman, who's been with us here on Crosstalk, first reported that the FOIA suit discovered that Customs and Border Patrol approved secretive flights that last year alone transported 320,000 illegal immigrants from foreign countries into at least 43 different United States airports. This administration is both importing voters and creating a national security threat from unvetted illegal migrants, Elon Musk posted on X. It is highly probable that the groundwork is being laid for something far worse than 9/11. Just a matter of time, end of quote. Friends, we've got some more stories, but we would like to invite you, if you'd like to weigh in on issues, perhaps a comment about last night's State of the Union, perhaps some of these other stories we've shared with you today, perhaps another item of current news and event. Our number here is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Taking your calls on Crosstalk today. The Free Beacon is reporting the Biden administration is not conducting federally mandated DNA tests on detained illegal aliens, according to data obtained by Senator Chuck Grassley. The data shown that Customs and Border Protection only collected DNA from 30 to 40% of the approximately 3.2 million illegal aliens who entered the U.S. in the fiscal year 2023. The Biden administration's failure to comply with DNA gathering requirements set out in the 2005 DNA Fingerprint Act comes as the country grapples with a record surge of illegal migrants, many of whom commit high-profile crimes upon entering the country. The Epoch Times is reporting that the Tennessee governor has deployed the National Guard troops to the Texas border. This is Governor Bill Lee, the latest Republican governor to deploy a contingent of his state's National Guard troops to the southern U.S. border to help block illegal border crossings. During a visit to the Texas border of Eagle Pass last month, Mr. Lee announced his intent to authorize two new rounds of troop deployments to the border. March 2nd, he made good on that vow, meeting with a group of 50 Tennessee National Guard soldiers who will take on this border mission. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Tony in Neillsville, you're on the air.
Hi, I'd like to know if it would be okay. The calls were stacked so deep yesterday, I couldn't get in. If I could visit yesterday when you was asking for phone calls.
And the State of the Union. Oh, your quick comment here.
First off, the people... The State of the Union were blinded by the light because Satan is a bright, deceiving light. And I just had my 63rd birthday 2 days ago, and I don't even know if I'll get to have another one next year or not. And, oh, my goodness, what were the other two?
Okay.
Oh, the man that made the comment about things that needed to be sought after yesterday, he forgot to mention about having a gas-powered generator and storing some gas.
Okay. Thank you, Tony, for your comments. Yeah, sorry, we had many people try to get on yesterday's program, ran out of time, though, but you said you don't know that you're going to make it to your next birthday. Let me just say this. The Bible tells us that life is but a vapor. We're here for a time, and then life vanishes away. None of us, not one of us listening right now, has a guarantee of our next breath or our next heartbeat. That's why our continued plea is for people to come to faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We'll take a break here right now and come back to more of your calls. Back in 1 minute on Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. A few weeks ago, Mark Stein was ordered to pay $1 million for questioning climate change advocates. My friends, this, of course, is leading us right down the path of the continuation of the death of free speech. This is a case that went on for years and years. No telling how much money was spent litigating this in the courts, only for Mark Stein and one other co-defendant to lose. All they did was question the research of a climate change proponent. And in doing so, he now is going to receive $1 million. Christians, conservatives, anyone that expresses something outside the norm of cultural Marxism, the globalist agenda, political correctness, is now at risk of being sued into oblivion. And of course, what this does is freeze free speech.
Yes, well, there are those who are fleeing California. Others are going there for some of the benefits. The Center Square, interesting story about California proposing a zero-down, no-payment home loans. Wow. Oh, you got to be an illegal immigrant. Okay, sorry about that. Let's go on here to the phone calls. Let's go to George in Geneva, Ohio. You're on the air, George.
Yeah, Jim, let's never forget what Joseph Stalin said in 1913. It doesn't matter who votes. It doesn't matter how they vote. What matters is who counts the votes.
Yep.
Now, about a few years ago, there was a gentleman in Chile with a long change screwdriver. He could change every vote in a minion machine from the right to the left. He showed how that could be done. So, I mean, these machines, we got to do it with machines. We need to go, you know, strictly paper ballots. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. Mark, Monroe, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yeah, the only thing I could do after the State of Confusion address was snicker. I think Bidenomics is synonymous for fuzzy math. G.I. Joe seems to think inflation was reduced from 9% to 3%. How come when I went to the grocery store, I paid $6 for a pack of hot dogs instead of two? Apparently, we the people are incapable of doing simple math. Hmm. Maybe the president needs to be reminded it's the economy, stupid. Yeah. That's my comment.
Okay, Mark. Jeff in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yeah, I agree with the one about the caller about the votes that don't count, because in the end, God himself is the one who appoints the leaders in our world. And it's our obligation as Christians in Romans chapter 13 to obey and respect our authorities, because they are placed there by God. And then when we resist them, we are literally resisting God himself. I really appreciated his speech last night. It was very uplifting, very encouraging. It was a wonderful speech.
Okay. Jeff, you're welcome to your comments here. Certainly, my personal opinion, I greatly disagree with that. I found it to be a very difficult speech to listen to, and the fact checkers have just been busy today. There have been so many things that they've had to correct the records on since that address. Thank you for your thoughts, though. Laura, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Laura. Yeah, I wanted to say, how come so many people still are so vehement against Trump? They're so full of hate yet. And you try to talk to them, and you can't reason with them. I think whoever is working with Trump need to do something to help his image.
Okay.
And do, you know.
Thank you. Thank you, Laura, for your thoughts. Alice in Arkansas, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I didn't get in on yesterday either, but I don't think today has changed any. We are facing spiritual wickedness in high places. And the rulers of the darkness of this world. I see the only hope for America is a revival in the days of Jonah, when the head and everybody fasted. Yeah. Even the animals could not eat. And God paid attention to that. Christ is our only hope. And the Bible says to his true followers that love the Lord, number one, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's the hope I have.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Alice. And appreciate your perspective as well. Paul in Kentucky, you're on the air.
Yes. Thank you, lady, for just speaking that. I really, really marked what you just said. I just wanted to comment on the State of the Union address when Biden's body double said that the Roe versus Wade would be reversed, and all the Baal worshipers stood up and shout. And also, I've heard talk on my local Christian radio about terrorist attack in some of the larger cities across the United States. So we may be prepared, but I just want to say thank you again for what that lady just said about in prayer. And we do need a revival all across this world.
Thank you, Paul. Rob is calling from Tennessee, Bridgetown, Tennessee. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. The gentleman that spoke about three persons ago talking about the speech last night, I'm just wondering what speech was he listening to? It certainly wasn't the State of the Union address. That's my comment.
Okay. Thank you, Rob.
Rob?
Let's see. Next is Laura in Watertown, South Dakota. You're on the air.
Thank you, Jim, for taking my call. It seems to me last night.
Laura, I need to have you turn your radio down, please. If you could just quickly turn down the volume here, because we are getting feedback from your radio itself.
Seems to me it was a speech of State of the Minions, where he called everybody that is in those types of positions to come together. And like Ephesians says, you know, we are not fighting flesh and blood. We are in spiritual warfare.
Yeah, indeed. Thank you for your comment here today on Crosstalk. And time to just squeeze one last call in our final minute to Gary in Mesa, Arizona. You're on the air.
Yeah, you had a caller that said we ought to obey the laws because God put these people in authority, that we should obey those laws. I think you forgot to read the whole thing. If the civil authorities are of not upholding the laws of God in the process of enforcing the law, we don't have to obey the laws of man. We obey the laws of God, not some stupid slug that calls himself the president.
Okay, thank you for your comments. And let me just say this, indeed, as Peter and the other apostles were beaten because they were told not to preach in the name of Jesus Christ, but they did that, and they were beaten as a result of this, and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Wasn't that their response? And counted it joyful that they could suffer on the cause of Jesus Christ. Friends, let me encourage you to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify not yourself, but to glorify your Father in heaven. Certainly, we are called upon to be salt. We are called upon to be light. And as bad as we see things all around us here today, it just lets us understand that this world needs Jesus. And we encourage, first of all, you who have never placed your trust in Jesus before to do so today. It's the day of acceptance, the scripture says. And then to those who know the Savior, let's be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Well, we thank you for tuning in today to Crosstalk and all this week as well. It is Friday. The Lord's Day is coming, and I trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching local church. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.